Right now it is time for us to be joined by Brian Ross, Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we talk about news. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
You know, my fears came true. I've been talking about the politicization of the Supreme Court. And I wasn't only talking about the political parties using the Supreme Court to put their objectives into play for the foreseeable future. But exactly the thing that happened yesterday, where someone was stalking a Supreme Court justice.
That's a horrible thing. And you know, the White House rightly denounced it. This is somebody who's thought he had to kill Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and he was stopped, fortunately. They need to give all kinds of protection to the Supreme Court justices, especially with these key rulings that are coming on abortion and guns. You know, people are very upset about it, and but this is no way to react. The way to react is to vote in different ways.
You know, everything, the cat is out of the bag after the last 4 years. And I'm going to say this, when you see a president act and say the things that he said, it gives even more license for people to be politicized in their personal life. And I'm not talking about just conservative Republicans. I'm talking about people that have deep feelings on the progressive side as well. And it seems like there are no limits now, Brian. You know, I'm 69, and I've seen a lot. I've seen when Sharon was a completely Republican town, and Republicans and Democrats. My grandmother, by the way, was the first woman ever on the state central committee for the Democratic Party in the state.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, but Democrats and Republicans used to politic, and then that's where they left it, and it's not that way now. And that's what makes this astounding release about the person stalking a Supreme Court justice. It shows you how out of control things are.
Well, you know, if violence and taking the law in your own hands should never be a solution, then you're right. Anybody who along the line has urged that has something to be blamed for in this case. And I think we'll be interested to see, you know, I hope you'll be watching tonight's hearings being broadcast in prime time, the January 6th committee having its first hearings, 8 o'clock prime time. They actually went out and hired one of my old bosses, James Goldston, the former president of ABC News. He's produced a kind of a documentary, a film they're going to show with key witnesses and be carried by all three major networks. Fox has opted not to carry it. They're going to put it on their low-rated Fox Business Channel instead.
Well, you know, you hope as many Americans watch it as possible, but, you know, we'll see it. I think we're so politicized that one tribe will watch it, another one won't watch it.
Well, you know, I think part of it is we should look to see, is there new information of crimes that we don't know about? Is there information, as the House is suggesting, that points to a larger role for Donald Trump than we knew? And then the question is, by doing this sort of highly polished production, are they sort of undercutting their own authority? And I wonder about that. I'm not so thrilled about the idea of them producing a film that's going to sort of try to urge us to think one way or another.
You know, a question I have for you. Whoever came up with the idea to have this summit in Washington with South American countries, and then, of course, we prohibit other countries from showing up, this is just a complete debacle that the president has to go through.
You wonder who was the planning on this? What was that all about?
I mean, I'm pretty sure whoever it is going to lose their job because you can't plan a comprehensive conference and even leave Cuba and your enemies out. You have to include them all if you're going to do a conference like that. And whoever it was, obviously, they won't be working for the administration long.
At least it focuses some focuses attention on that part of the world, which is usually ignored. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's it. And China, of course, is making inroads in all these countries. Stepping in and filling a void that the United States left for four years. Let's move over to the Ukraine. I sit here amazed, and I watch and I see all the news reports that come out, and even though Russia is marginally gaining some things, they're putting all their effort into eastern Ukraine. And once again, they're still in that quagmire. Doesn't matter how many forces and how much bombing they do. This is inch by inch territory here for the Russians. This is really a huge embarrassment for the Russian military.
Yes, though let's remember, President Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, has indicated that Russia has now seized 20%, one-fifth of Ukraine, now under Russian control. And in some of those areas, they are eliminating the Ukrainian network or the internet and putting in a Russian one. They're putting in Russian rubles instead of the Ukrainian currency. Inch by inch, in some areas, they're doing what Putin apparently wants to be done, which is to create this kind of fortress there of Russian interests, which allows him to have kind of the land bridge between Russia and Crimea.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. So what do you think about this gun control legislation that was passed by the House and is probably going to be blown up in the Senate?
Yeah, just doomed to failure. And, you know, I think it's a time to get past sort of symbolic acts. And Democrats have been doing that. I guess they feel like they want to do something. Somewhere in the middle is some common ground, perhaps. You know, we've got the two Connecticut state, our two senators, Murphy and Blumenthal, are part of this group of 10, five Republicans, five Democrats, trying to find a common ground. Even if it's a small measure, I think it suggests that something can be done. And frankly, as an institution, Congress needs to indicate to the American public it's capable of doing something.
I think they're going to prove that that the House and the Senate are as dysfunctional as the rest of the country right now, and I fear that they're not even capable of doing the smallest little thing, which is amazing.
Right, but what is the point, honestly, to pass a bill that they know is doomed in the Senate? What's the point of that? The point is to make politics, to point out the shortcomings of the Republicans, and okay, I get that, to make political points, to create ads for the campaign coming up for the midterms. But does it really change anything? I don't think so.
No, it doesn't. That's the whole thing about it. Politics should never be the thing that guides legislation, because that's the problem, because it comes... the decisions actually come from the people that elect the politicians. And I'm not talking about the voters. I'm talking about the PACs, the super PACs, and the money.
Right. You know, after the very emotional testimony yesterday of some of the people who survived that shooting, the people who lost their relatives, I can see why the House would feel compelled to do something. And, you know, it's not as if we don't know the Republicans are refusing to do anything at all. They are just completely dug in there, and it seems, for the most part, owned and operated by the National Rifle Association. So it's difficult. Maybe that's all they can do, is some sort of symbolic movement. But the glimmer of hope is still there. I think it's only a glimmer. Senator Murphy has said there's the best chance yet that he knows of passing some kind of law that would restrict ownership. But already there's very little compromise to be seen from the Republicans. The one piece of compromise legislation is one that Senator Blumenthal and Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican of South Carolina, are working on, with sort of enhanced red flag laws. And as part of a package also, I guess there'll be more money for school security systems, all right, and for mental health, certainly needed.
Let's go to the story, which I find amazing, that people find it surprising. Voters in San Francisco, which is a very liberal city, but there's one thing that even progressive voters are not moved by, and that is crime. And they recall their district attorney in San Francisco under the guise of some of the things that district attorney did out there. Brian, I don't know if you saw it and you've covered it. It made no sense. It absolutely made no sense.
Well, they turned him into a boogeyman, as if he was somehow responsible for all the crime. And, it's a well-funded, conservative real estate sort of interest the campaign that turned voters against Beaudin, who's the district attorney out there. And, you know, I guess his policies were being blamed by many for the crime right there, and people see homeless on the street, and they somehow blame the district attorney. What he was trying to do was to focus on serious crimes, and the thought was that you could, by going after that and by not locking up everybody, but just locking up those the greatest danger, that would be a better way to address crime problems. The voters have rejected that. And certainly California, I think, is not the most liberal, certainly one of the most liberal cities. And if they say no to that, well, the rest of the country will too.
Well, you're right. Everything, you know, I mean, some of the laws about shoplifting and everything were absurd, but they were brought. They were made even more absurd by the groups you just pointed out. Made even more absurd. I mean, and made it even shocking when they went out and people placed videos of what was going on. We are in such a turbulent time. I don't know how pollsters ever can sit here and talk about the midterm elections when it seems like on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, everything just turns in 180 degrees.
Well, and part of it, let's look at ourselves. By that, I mean the media. You know, those videos of the gangs ransacking luxury stores played over and over and over again on the local news give the impression that the entire city is out of control.
Yep.
It's not really the case.
Yeah.
But there is this impression that people get by watching the news. That's the principal source of information for many, many voters, that, boy, it's we've lost control of the city.
Well, that's the old thing, you know, when media, and it doesn't matter which media it is, pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds one thing, and just replays and replays and replays, there is a factor that the more you see, the more people see, the more they believe, the more they believe. So
right, and those videos, you know, for the local news producers trying to get ratings, those are almost irresistible. That kind of mayhem with gangs going in and ransacking luggage stores and jewelry stores, you do wonder what's going on. How do those people feel they have the ability to do that and get away with it? And that's the troubling part. But I think it's out of whack in terms of the proportionality of how important it was. But that's one of the things I think helped lead San Francisco voters to say, enough, we got to crack down.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, we live in a time where media is a big influencer. People talk about influencers all the time. Well, media happens to be a big influencer, especially media that picks, I hate to say this, that picks sides, that picks things for ratings. It happens in the wintertime in local media where weather departments build up a big storm a week before it comes. Why? To get viewers. That's another bridge we'll have to cross at some time.
Right, and you know, with the exception probably of Robin Hood Radio and NPR, you know, the news organizations are there. They're money-making operations. These are not charities, and they make their money by getting viewers or listeners, and then sell advertising based on those numbers. So that's what happens. That's, you know, the idea is, and that's the system we live in. It's a free press, but it's, you know, they don't get paid to do it except by the advertisers or by contributors, and so the more people who are watching or listening, the more money they're going to make, and that's what drives this.
Brian, it's always great to talk to you. I'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
I look forward to it, Marshall. Have a great week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Brian Ross with Real News. You can find Brian on our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Brian Ross, Real News.